It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But yeah, this is just another brick on the wall right now. It's not a wall that's firmly in place yet, but it is another on the wall of confusion, if you will. I do not understand. Now, not only did the Niners lose Dre Greenlaw, but they really wanted Dre Greenlaw. And once they signed the contract, they still thought they had a chance to get Dre Greenlaw back to convince him otherwise, which tells me they must have been offering him something in the same sort of arena as what Denver offered him, and he still said no.
Yeah.
Like, that's what concerns me, because when I think, this is kind of the fear that Giants fans have had the last few years. The idea that people don't want to be there. How could Dre Greenlaw not want to come back?
Yeah, maybe he wants to try something on his own. This is something that you said last week or the week before. Like, you know, you get to a certain spot in your career and you want to be the man. You want to be the linebacker. And I don't know if that would be the case, but I don't know what the situation is with the 49ers and how it all went. He only played in, what, two quarters last year, and then they shut him down again. Yep. And so there's got to be more to it than just the money. But I'm surprised to hear that Adam Schefter sound that the Niners tried to get him to flip back and come back to the 49ers. Is that what we're doing in free agency? Like, we're not going out there and bringing in a lot of players. We're not spending a lot of money. And one of our guys who leaves, well, now we're going to get a little desperate and try to bring him back?
I will tell you this. If you want to take your concern to another level with the way free agency has gone, I do think this, and this is based on some conversations. We all talk about, like, what's the 49ers' plan? Not this. This was not the plan. This was not plan A. It's not going well. It's not going the way they set out for it to go. So for those of you who are like, well, John Lynch said at the Combine, you know, this is what we're going to do, and now they're doing it. Well, I don't think that they were going to be doing it to this level. Something has not gone well for the Niners that caused them to kind of take what they were going to do a little bit of to start doing a lot of it. And so that's kind of worrisome to me.
yes, then if things aren't going according to plan, then you got to pivot. And I don't really see much of a pivot. Now, we have this news, too, where you trade Jordan Mason to Minnesota. And so they put a second-round tender on him, meaning if somebody wanted to sign him, the Niners would have to get a second-round pick from that team. So the value, I thought, would be commensurate with that. But Minnesota basically gives him a six-round pick in next year's draft, and they swapped from 187 to 160 in this year's draft. So you move up 27 spots, and you get an additional sixth for next year, and you give up your running back insurance to Minnesota. That's one that I don't get that either.
I mean, maybe they really like Garendo, you know?
They probably didn't want to pay Jordan Mason, who got, what do you get, $7 million? $7 million fully guaranteed.
Right, I think
2 years and 12.
Right,
seven fully guaranteed.
$6 million.
Which,
Let's go to Robert and Martinez. Hey, Robert, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
So there's actually two things I kind of want to bring up. I think with the Dre Greenlaw thing, a big thing that I think nobody's really talking about, I remember a few years ago reading an article that he wanted to be the guy. He wanted to be the number one linebacker, and I think it was more about that. He wanted to lead a linebacker room, and he was never going to be able to do that with Warner here.
You might very well be right, Robert. Yeah, go ahead.
And then the other point I have, I think a lot of the moves, the players that went out, I think they were kind of expected. And I think a big thing that they're doing this year is right now they have a little over $80 million in dead cap. And I think with the Purdy deal that's coming, I think they decided to do the dead cap this year to free up more room for next year.
Robert, you sound like you've done a lot of reading on this, because I think you have some really good points. The problem I have with it is, let me take everything you just said as fact, and thanks, Robert, appreciate it, and I still don't think it comforts Niner fans where we sit right now. It just, like, it doesn't add up to this level. You can't have this many open holes on your team as you enter the draft if you're planning to win. That's all. I'm not even, like, if you want to go deal by deal and player by player, you're right. I can understand why someone went, well, that guy underperformed. We don't want to pay him. That guy underperformed. Let's let him go. Oh, the Dre Greenlaw thing. David Lombardi's reporting that this was almost like it was for Robert Saleh, who was adamant that they get Dre Greenlaw back. And they tried like crazy. But, sorry, didn't get him. And maybe it is because Dre just wanted to run his own shop. And that's why he decided to leave the 49ers. Like, we can come up with answers for every single one of these individuals. Collectively, though, here's where it leaves the Niners. You have about seven holes, and that's too many when you get to the draft.
Right, and you know,
period.
Well, you've got a lot of players that you're looking to step up and fill those roles. Ricky Pearsall, you're going to have to be wide receiver one. You don't have Ayuk for who knows how long, and Debo's gone. And so now, Ricky, we drafted you in the first round. You got to be the man. And you can look across the board at a lot of those positions. Defensive line is a big one. And, yeah, you're going to go in the draft. It's a deep draft for defensive line, edge rusher, interior. You're going to need to figure out how to get those guys and have them hit, because right now you've got Evan Anderson with the guardian cap. You've got Gross Matos, Jordan Elliott, and you've got Kevin Givens, and you got Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa.
Which is nice, but you need two or three more legit players there.
And one of them needs to be a difference maker.
For sure.
I believe.
Well, and you let Floyd go, a guy who was a difference maker on passing downs. 8.5 sacks.
Yeah.
You know, he was asked to do that, and he did it pretty well. So, yeah, you have a lot of holes in, what do you have, 13 draft picks, I think?
11, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, 11. Ryan in Danville. Ryan, hey, what's up?
Hey, it's great to be on.
Thanks, Ryan.
I know the 49ers, of course, are taking a lot of punches going back this past week. But, you know, I got to give, the benefit of the doubt to, you know, to my 49ers. Because isn't it fair to say that the 49ers did not anticipate and foresee their free agents being so coveted? I mean, who could have thought Aaron Banks was going to get $19 million? You got Hufanga, who got $15 million a year. You got even Charvarius Ward, who I believe the Chiefs and the 49ers have used up the best of his years. He got $20 million a year from the Colts. So being the strategic guy that I am, there's no way that I would keep those guys versus getting cap relief for the next several years, as well as those comp picks that are going to be netted from letting those guys go. In my estimation, I think that the Kansas City Chiefs got the best of all the 49ers free agents with signing Moore because
Taylor Moore
was drafted in 21. And, you know, he has a lot of tread left on the tires because he was a backup behind Trent Williams, who played well in his relief. So I think the 49ers should get a benefit of the doubt, you know, by letting these guys go.
But Ryan, for me, and thanks so much for the call, for me it's not even about who they let go. It's the fact that they didn't replace any of them. Like, those three names you brought up, I don't think that they let them go because huge offers came in that they didn't see coming, because I heard rumors for weeks leading up to free agency that those three guys were going to be gone. Everybody knew that Ward was going to be gone. Everybody guessed that Banks was going to be gone. And everybody guessed that Hufanga was going to be gone. So I don't think that was a function of their offer. I think the Niners were ready to move on from those guys, and I'm okay with that if you replace them.
Well, they replaced them with guys that are going to need to play well, like Trey Brown, an undrafted free agent corner out of Seattle, and you've got Richie Grant, who's a safety, who these are guys who are going to have to come in now and be good.
And if they are, then I'll be wrong.
Yeah, but I'm with you.
Yeah. Warriors and Nuggets tonight, as you know, 7 o'clock. Warriors Live with Mark Grandy starts at 6, and that's presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. We're going to get back into the Dubs and the Nuggets coming up next. Our good friend Howard Beck from The Ringer is going to join us so we can dive a little bit deeper into what's going on with all of these Western Conference stars as we move closer to the playoffs. That's all coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Now, Back to Willard and Dibs.
That's a great question.
So that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
And we're hoping to ask more of them right now. It's been a minute since we've had a chance to talk to one of my favorite NBA writers out there. I don't even know how to introduce him. The Ringer, the podcast extraordinaire. He does it all. He's been everywhere and is super tapped in. And so we'll bring on Howard Beck here in just a moment. Also want to remind you to subscribe to Willard and Dibs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And all of the great guests that we bring on this station, like Howard, are there. So you can check that out. But Howard joins us now on the River Islands guest line. What's going on, my man? How are you?
Gentlemen, doing well. How are you?
We're fantastic. You know, I was just looking at this story where the Sixers have announced that Paul George is out for the year, and he's going to have surgery, and things are just not going well with the knee, and it made me think, boy, what could have been with this great Golden State Warriors story that we're looking at now if they had been able to acquire Paul George in the offseason like they were trying so hard to do?
They were. I mean, I think there was a limit that they had. My understanding is, like, obviously the Warriors did pursue him. I don't know how far they were willing to go. I mean, I think one way of looking at the failed pursuit is that they had a line that they weren't going to cross, you know, and then, you know, obviously Paul George had something to say about it too. But however that unfolded, you know, the Warriors came into the season with options. And it was interesting when they started the season with all the depth and all these players, you know, running 12, 13 deep. And it was, you know, the strength in numbers revival kind of thing. But you always knew, like, if they could consolidate some of this stuff and get another impact player, that was going to be the real path forward. Because, yeah, you can only put so much on Steph's shoulders, especially at this age. So, like, I think they played this right. Like, it was right to pursue Paul George on some level, and it was right to pursue Lauri Markkanen on some level. It was right to have certain lines that you wouldn't cross to get them because they both, you know, had some limitations. And it was right to kind of go into the season still having a lot of options, even though, yeah, in another timeline, maybe this doesn't go this way, and maybe Jimmy Butler ends up somewhere else, or what if he doesn't force his way out? You know, there's always a gazillion of these sliding doors moments in the NBA, but I think you know, Mike Dunleavy and his staff have done a really good job of doing this smartly, where they didn't rashly pull the trigger on anything, left themselves options, and then you just hope to be in a position to make the right deal when it becomes available, and that's what happened with getting Jimmy Butler.
And it seemed like they were all in on trying to get Kevin Durant until Kevin Durant had some cold feet about the deal, and then Jimmy Butler ostensibly fell in their lap. It is serendipitous in many ways that they got Jimmy Butler, but could you have imagined that it would have worked out this well, this fast?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds ridiculous for me to say yes, but I don't remember when I did this, and I don't remember if it was in print as one of like our roundups of our staff or if it was on the podcast. I was advocating for Jimmy to the Warriors at least a year ago. I swear this is true.
Because
I always thought that the Heat and Jimmy had run their course, and I took some flack from Heat fans and from other people in Jimmy's orbit at a couple different junctures because I kept saying I just think that this thing is over and it makes more sense for him to be somewhere else. Partially also, too, because, like, Jimmy, there's a lot that Jimmy Butler can do for a team, but he's best as a complimentary star and not the leading star. And that's not a knock on him. That's, in fact, praise because he's so malleable as a player. He's got the talent to do a lot of things, including lead you on a given night, but night in, night out, he's not the guy who wants to be, you know, carrying a 30, 35% usage rate. He's best. I mean, look, he got them to two finals, which is incredible and is a real testament to him and to the Heat. But Jimmy, as co-star to Steph and Draymond, and once upon a time, Clay, when he was still there, like, that always made a lot of sense to me. And so, no, I'm not shocked by all of this. Like, would I have expected, you know, winning 12 out of 13 or whatever and how great they've been? Like, I don't know that I would have predicted that. But I'm not surprised that he fit in so well. He's a super smart player, and so are the two stars that he just joined. And it's just lifted their team IQ. And Jimmy is one of those rare stars where He doesn't need the ball every possession. He's not demanding touches and shots. He's going to make the right play every time. And he's a low turnover guy, added to a team that is often a high turnover team. Like, he's just helped fix a lot of things, and he's just such an easy fit.
Howard, we're in such a honeymoon period with it right now that I think Warrior fans are struggling to understand why it has ended in a bumpy way in all of his previous stops. Is that just because it's the honeymoon period, or do you think that this one is that kind of a fit where maybe it will work out nicely?
I think Jimmy is, to an extent, a victim of his own actions in terms of perception, because I think his history is not quite as messy as people believe it to be. He's a 30th overall pick in Chicago. Nothing expected of him. Grows into stardom or budding stardom in Chicago, but there's a lot that comes with that. So they traded him. Like, Jimmy Butler didn't force his way out of Chicago. They traded him to Minnesota. Minnesota, obviously, there was the clash with their young stars. Somewhat understandable. Wiggins and Towns, you know, needed somebody to kind of mold them a little bit, but they didn't want to be molded. And Jimmy also wanted a big contract extension that the Timberwolves weren't willing to give. So it went south there because of that. Philly was fine, but Philly chose Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler for any number of reasons. So again, like, it didn't end messily in Philly. And then in Miami, like Minnesota, he wanted an extension that the team wasn't willing to give. And this is not to excuse anything that Butler has done in a couple of these stops, but it's not been a complete disaster or you know, bridges burned on every exit. It's really just two. It's Minnesota and Miami. So, and the Warriors, the first thing they did in trading for him was give him the extension that Miami wouldn't. So what? There's nothing for him to complain about. He can be headstrong, yes. He is a big personality, yes, but he's joining a team that's got four championships and two Hall of Famers. Like, you know, I didn't have a lot of the concerns that a lot of other people might have about his fit there.
Yeah, and the fit has been unbelievable. Mark talked about the honeymoon period, and I can't help but think about what happens after the honeymoon, where you get into April and maybe even the playoffs if things continue in this direction. Do you see the Warriors now as a viable, dangerous team in the Western Conference?
Yeah, absolutely. We have at the Ringer tomorrow a staff survey of basically, like, who should cause the Thunder concern in the West. And it's a really interesting and difficult question because, you know, the Thunder are so far and away the best team in the West by record, by net rating, by whatever metric you want to apply. And it's been the kind of season in the West where the West is really deep. There's a lot of good teams, but there's really not been one clear number two team. If the Thunder are number one in the West, and they are, like, is it who's next best? Is it Denver? You know, at one point you would have said, well, Dallas gets the benefit of the doubt as the defending Western Conference champs. Well, Dallas took themselves out of that discussion. The Timberwolves looked, you know, dead for a long time. They've kind of revived themselves recently. Could they be a threat? No one takes the Rockets seriously because they're young and they don't really have a go-to guy. People still aren't quite sure what to make of the Grizzlies. And so I look at the Warriors and the Lakers, you know, who coincidentally, the two teams that have the two faces of the last, you know, 15 years of the league, and LeBron and Steph, two teams that both added stars at the deadline, Luka and Jimmy Butler. And those are the two teams that I look at and think, if I'm the Thunder, I'm not sure the Thunder fear anybody, but if I'm worried about anybody as I'm looking down the bracket, it's the team that has, you know, LeBron and Luka, or the team that has Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond, because those are the teams that have all the playoff experience in the world and championship experience, and, you know, are just really solid. So the Lakers and Warriors both, despite, you know, and in the Warriors' case in particular, a pretty jagged season early on. But, you know, if LeBron's healthy, the Lakers are in this discussion, and as long as the Warriors are healthy, they're in this discussion.
Okay, so Howard Beck, the Ringer, with us here on Willard and Dibs. What about if we asked a similar question kind of the different way, from the perspective of the Warriors, which is there a team that they don't want to see for matchup reasons?
Probably LeBron and Luka.
Yeah. I agree with you, Howard.
Yeah. I mean, I love that can be the answer, because you know, we don't know how many more years we're getting of these guys, right? Like, we got to appreciate them while we still have them. And LeBron and Steph are both still playing at a really high level. And what have we been talking about the last couple of years with these guys? If they could just get some help, if they could just, you know, be able to be put in a position where they can make another run, but they can't do it on their own, especially at this late stage of their careers. So I'm happy that we can have a conversation where I'm saying, hey, maybe the biggest threat to the Warriors, the Lakers, to Steph and LeBron is each other. I hope they don't meet too soon in the playoffs, but we'll see how it all shapes up.
Yeah, hopefully it's deep in the playoffs. I was looking earlier, and Steph is 17-11 against LeBron James teams in the playoffs, and I know a lot of that was when KD was here and they were handling Cleveland. But when you look elsewhere in the Western Conference and you think about Houston and Memphis, are they viable in your eyes, Howard, or are they still a year of experience away from being dangerous?
All the credit in the world, let's talk about the Rockets first, like all the credit in the world to Ime Udoka for shaping that team and to their young players for, you know, really forging an incredible defensive identity. And they're good enough offensively. But, you know, Jalen Green has not really established himself as a go-to star yet. And when Fred VanVleet's not playing, that team's offense just gets stuck in the mud. And so they need Fred VanVleet, who's, you know, always been this, like, just unspectacular, like, not flashy, but just really workmanlike, incredibly effective leader and orchestrator out there. But they don't have the go-to guy. They have a bunch of guys who are pretty good, but in the playoffs, in crunch time, you know, last couple minutes of a tight game, you need a Steph Curry or a Kevin Durant or a LeBron James or a Luka. And I just don't think the Rockets, you know, especially as a really young team, that again, like their playoff experience, it's all new for most of these guys. I just don't think anyone takes them seriously, and I agree with that stance. The Grizzlies are a little different in that they've had some playoff experience and some battles, of course, with the Warriors, and then the Grizzlies kind of, you know, got lost in the desert for a while and have now found their way back. And you know, they still have some vulnerabilities in the half court offensively, and you know, I think I would take them more seriously than the Rockets. I think the Grizzlies would present bigger concerns, but I still think that when people talk about the West in this league, after the Thunder, I think the teams that they're paying the most attention to are the Lakers and Warriors, and of course the Nuggets.
Howard, what about if we dive a little bit deeper on the way the Warriors are playing right now? In other words, are they going to have to evolve a little bit into their more focus on their stars? These guys, Moses Moody and Quentin Post, and these contributions that they're getting from young players, how confident are you that can continue in the postseason?
You know, it's sliding scale, I think, more so with Moody than Post, because Moody's got at least some postseason experience and has been around for a couple of years, and Post, this is all new to him. I do think that that's where it becomes a concern, right? As you get into the playoffs and, you know, you're going to lean on your veterans quite a bit, but Steph and Draymond and Jimmy Butler need to have confidence that when they kick the ball out to Moody or Post or Pajemski, that those guys are going to be confident enough to make shots, that they're not going to hesitate, or that if they're not open, they're going to move the ball quickly and keep, you know, as Steve Kerr always preaches, you want to make quick decisions with the ball. And our guys going to, you know, be able to handle that playoff pressure when some of them have little or no experience? I don't know. I mean, we'll see when they get there. But it's that, you know, that's why it's all that much more important that you have a guy like Butler around, where there's one more guy you know is always going to be, you know, steady in the moment and making the right play.
Is it fair to expect Jonathan Kuminga to be able to step up into a real prominent role? I know having Jimmy Butler makes it so he doesn't have to be the second scorer, but is he at a spot, Howard, that you think he can be a big-time contributor in high-leverage playoff games?
I mean, he almost has to be, because the thing is, like, you need the scoring to come from multiple places, and you know, he's one of their, you know, few vertical threats. I mean, he's obviously their best vertical threat. And, you know, he could do a few things with the ball in his hands as well, and he's just an incredible athlete. So, like, you're going to need Kuminga to be playing a major role. Like, do you need him to go out and score 25 a night? No, I don't think that's what's expected of him. But, you know, he's another really important release valve.
This play-in tournament fascinates me right now, Howard. I mean, there is so much optimism right now with the Warriors, but I'm looking at what the Wolves are doing, and through all this, the Warriors may end up in this play-in tournament anyway. How would you sort of predict this thing is going to play out? Who ends up in that seven slot?
I mean, I haven't looked at strength of schedule to see like how this is going to pan out. I mean, right as of right now, of course, the Warriors are you know, potentially sixth, so they avoid the play-in. As the standings sit right now, if it's Minnesota, Clippers, Kings, Mavs, I mean, the Mavs, I would think, are going to lose hold on that 10th spot, and the Suns probably replace them, but the Suns have been so disastrous that it's hard to place any faith in them either. I'm going to say that the Suns end up in the 10th spot. I'm going to say that the Suns end up, I think they beat the Kings. Like, Kevin Durant just throws a haymaker and they emerge. between the Clippers and Wolves, like, that's a tough one. I think I kind of lean Timberwolves. So do we eventually get, like, Timberwolves versus Suns? Wait, no, excuse me. Timberwolves end up with the seventh, and then Clippers have to play the Suns for the eighth spot. Yeah, I don't know. I have so little faith. All I see, and that's the thing, like, the Suns, like, I could see them, like, knocking out the Kings in a play-in game and then just getting smoked by the Clippers the next game somehow, right? And so I think I think I just talked myself into Minnesota 7th and Clippers 8th, which is how the standings look right now anyway. So that was creative.
Yeah. No, I think as long as you don't have the Warriors in it, our listeners are probably happy with it. But the Wolves have a very, very soft schedule, at least for another week or so. They got a lot of New Orleans, a lot of Indiana without their stars kind of things going on for the next week or so. So we'll see. Meantime, the Warriors have a back-to-back against Jokic and Giannis.
Yeah, sometimes the schedule gods are a little cruel. But as well as the Warriors are playing, I think they'll get through it. I mean, look, let's say the Timberwolves knock them out or they, you know, overtake them. The Warriors are in the play-in. The play-in's dicey, right? Like, you know, and at least if you're in that 7-8 game, you've got a little bit more wiggle room. But I think the Warriors are, like, I said this for weeks, starting from the moment they got Jimmy Butler. I said the Warriors are making the playoffs. And whether that's through the play-in or whether they get it outright at the sixth seed, I have very little doubt that they're in. And then it's just a matter of matchups and how they do from there.
Howard, love having you, man. Thank you so much for the time today.
Always a pleasure, fellas. Thank you.
There it is. Howard Beck on the Ringer on the Warriors situation. And yeah, man, up and down the Western Conference right now. This is, even just listening to him try to work through some of these scenarios, I don't know that I've ever sort of had the simultaneous feelings that I do right now, which is absolute joy and the utmost confidence in what the Warriors are doing. But at the same time, looking at the math and the scenarios that are out there and also lacking a ton of confidence that this is going to go somewhere good at the same time. Like, the seventh seed is a real, real, real possibility. And I hate it for right. Multiple reasons. Not so much that I think that they would lose back-to-back home games, though they could, but also I really think that they're going to need that week off.
Absolutely.
They got to have that week off leading up to the playoffs.
I think that's the biggest part of it, because you would have literally 7, if not 8 days, because they're going to play on the Sunday, I would imagine, if they're a playoff team. They're going to put them in that sweet spot on Sunday where, you know, you get the ABC game or whatever it is, the nationally televised 12:30 tip, and it's the marquee spot. So you want to have as much rest as you can. I think if they were the 7, I agree with you. I don't think that they would lose back-to-back games at home and be totally out of the playoffs. They're allowed to, and they've done it before. They weren't back-to-back home games. They were the 8 seed,
right?
And they lost, and then they came home, and then they lost again to Memphis. So 0-3 lifetime in the play-in tournament, so that scares me also. But they could really, right now, finish anywhere between 2-8 in the West.
Yeah, 2 is a little far-fetched. A
little bit.
Just because of the number of teams you'd have to pass.
Yes.
Like, that's a lot.
Lot of teams. You're only a game and a half up on the Clippers
right.
for the 8 seed.
Right.
And You're 3.5 back of the two. So mathematically, it's there. It would be very difficult. And, you know, where you're sitting right now, you've got 15 more games. Minnesota only has 13. And you mentioned the soft schedule. So these next two nights, tonight and tomorrow,
big.
Huge.
They're just absolutely gargantuan. They really are. Because, by the way, even that play-in scenario where you're sort of like, oh, well, it's two chances both at home. Not in my mind. Because if you lose that first one, you're the 8 seed. On your way to Oklahoma City and exhausted.
Exactly.
You're going to lose.
Well.
You're going to lose. I'm telling
tough.
You right now, you're going to lose that series if that scenario plays that way.
Dan, your odds maker friend, John Avello, said on Friday that they'd be underdog against virtually everybody.
Virtually all of these teams
so
in
no matter,
this moment.
Yeah, no matter it goes, the best thing I think you just said is the rest. Stay out of the play-in and get you some rest.
Yeah, I just think that the odds lean toward whoever has game one at home. And that's why he listed off a bunch of teams that would all have game one at home against the Warriors in this moment. And then he listed Minnesota as well, largely because I think that, as you've detailed, the analytics suggest that Minnesota is going to grab the six from the Warriors. That's what the math is saying right now.
Yeah.
So...
I'll bring that up again and see if the numbers have moved at all since the weekend results.
I mean, maybe if the Warriors win tonight and tomorrow, because then their schedule softens up, and Minnesota, after a week more of easy stuff in theory for them, then they toughen up. Then they've got Detroit and Denver, two nights apart. They've still got a trip to Milwaukee and Memphis a couple weeks away, but man, there is not a lot of resistance when you look at Minnesota's schedule.
Yeah.
There just isn't. There's Brooklyn. There's Brooklyn twice. There's Utah. There's Philly. There's New Orleans twice. There's Indiana twice, and Indiana's missing their top guys. There's not a lot of resistance. The Warriors are going to have to be damn close to perfect.
Just looking at this chart, Basketball Reference, with the playoff probability, the highest probability for the Warriors is 7
the
seed.
The 7 seed.
25.9. But the 6 is Minnesota 31%, Lakers 23%, Warriors 23%. So it really is, mathematically, a three-way crapshoot for who's going to get the 6.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, what the Lakers have is 2.5 games in hand, and what Minnesota has is full health, youth, and an easier schedule.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough, man.
That's why these next three games. So 3 games in 4 nights is what we're looking at, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday.
Yep, that's already true because they played on Saturday night.
So right.
It's 3 games in 4 nights, either direction that you look at.
It's 4 games in 6.
At least they're at home. But,
yep, true.
Yeah. All right, 888-957-9570. We got the 5 o'clock hour for your calls. 888-957-9570. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We started off the show talking about Steve Kerr. He is now the all-time winningest coach with the Golden State Warriors. Got wonderful compliments from Draymond, Steph Curry, and others. And so, therefore, good time to kind of dip the toe in the water, get a temperature check on the fan base. How are you feeling about Steve Kerr now that they're on this winning streak and now that he has won more games as a Warrior coach than anyone? So we'll get into that coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
To Willard and Dibs.
There goes the two boys, the two great boys of the Bay Area, the best sports show on town.
On 95.7 The Game.
Steve Kerr's underappreciated.
Yeah.
Just is.
I mean, it's hard for me to hear you say that and come back at you because we take many, many calls on this station about rotations, and when things were bad earlier this year, and by bad I mean they were about 500 and a little bit below 500, not like Washington Wizards bad or some of these other teams that are really bad, but like Warriors bad, and some people wanted him out. They wanted Steve Kerr, run, fire this guy. And so when I hear you say he's underappreciated, I think you're right, and it's hard for me to even fathom that because the man has won 9 of the last 28 NBA championships. Think about that. He's won 9 of them. Yes, as a player, Michael Jordan carried him. As a player, he was on the bench watching Tim Duncan run around. As a coach, who couldn't win with this team with all that talent? The man's won 9 of 28. One out of every three, basically, for three decades. He's got 9 rings. 5 as a player, 4 as a coach, and yet some people want him run.
Yeah, and I don't know how many people actually want him, quote-unquote, run, but I do think that there are enough people out there who, and this is the same way I feel about Kyle Shanahan often. It's different. The backdrop is different. He's never won a championship, and he has a very different relationship with the media and the fans than Steve Kerr does. But in general, I guess the question that I often have, sometimes even from night to night, is why doesn't he get the benefit of the doubt more? That I guess that's my question. It's that thing that you earn. You have to earn the benefit of the doubt. But he so clearly has. He's so clearly earned
Steve Kerr.
That. Yes.
Yeah, not Kyle Shanahan.
Well, I think Kyle has too.
He's earned some benefit of some doubt.
Yeah.
But there are things that happen that continue to happen. And whether it's, you know, blown fourth quarter leads, which he now has 25 of them in his coaching career, or clock mismanagement that frustrates people. You know, play calling is one that it's kind of like rotations. If the play works, then maybe it was a bad play call, but broken coverage on the other team, and you get 38 yards out of it. It's like, boy, we got away with that one. Or what you always say about Kerr and his rotations. How is he supposed to know if Guy Santos has his A game or not? He starts Guy the other night, Saturday, and it's like, yeah, we're going to start you, Guy. Guy plays great.
Yep.
Steve's a genius. If Guy goes out there and plays like garbage, why are you starting Guy Santos?
Right, exactly. And then, you know, there's the Moses Moody question, which I completely think is a total chicken of the egg deal. You can apply Jonathan Kuminga to this as well, which is to say, like, a lot of people have wanted more minutes for these guys for a long time. If you had done it, would it look like this? I mean, I'd clearly argue no. And I say that as somebody that, at least from Moody's standpoint, I have been very much on that side of the fence of wanting him to play more prior to when he did. But I also leave space for the idea that it's not that easy. You can't just play someone because you want to. They have to make good on their opportunities, and that opportunity has to present itself. And sometimes, right, there's only 5 guys allowed on the floor at once, and there's just there's a lot of factors to figure out. But I think that the Jimmy Butler trade has opened us up to a whole world of new things to talk about with regard to the structure of the Golden State Warriors. And I understand it. We were at a time, as recently as a month and a half ago, we're sitting there at a time where, like, it had been prolonged frustration to watch the Warriors. And I know you're like, yes, you compared. It's not the Wizards. But at the same time, you're looking at a team that was going through prolonged frustration. You've got champions all over the roster. Klay is frustrated, and Jordan Poole is punched, and you can't shake 500, and you can't get out of the play-in tournament, and all of these things that have happened. So there's this prolonged period of frustration, and that's going to bring about big opinions and calls for change and all that. Well, okay, now take a look. Jimmy Butler gets acquired, and all of a sudden, at least for me, you start seeing everything from a completely different angle. You start looking at what the general manager has done. The draft picks look different. The contracts that you sign look different. Like the Moses Moody contract, holy hell.
Yeah.
Looks like the absolute deal of the century now, all of a sudden. And the coaching looks different, and the play looks different. So, look, it's a period of time where we're probably not going to get a lot of no one's criticizing Steve Kerr right now. But he breaks the record over the weekend, or moves past all of the other performers in history. Good time to kind of take stock with the comfort level that everybody has with the coach, because there has been some discomfort now for a couple of seasons.
Even this season, if you just highlight what we've been through and you hear him say crisis of confidence, and you hear Steph Curry just kind of downtrodden after games and, you know, muttering almost about, you know, all the things that aren't going right. And it was a frustrating year where just when it felt like they were starting to figure some things out, they had some adversity. And you had D'Anthony Melton. Remember D'Anthony Melton on the Warriors?
Sure do.
That was this season.
Yep.
And that feels like 4 years ago.
Remember when his injury was the reason they couldn't play well?
Yeah.
We spent 3 weeks doing that.
And I think it was a thing. And then you go out and you trade and you bring in Dennis Schroeder. Remember when he was a Warrior? That was also this season. And slow-mo and, you know, all the other players that they had at the start of the year, they've completely turned over this roster in many ways, not only by making Quentin Post an anointed one, but Gui Santos is now getting regular minutes, and you had Slo-Mo and Melton, and you had Schroeder and Lindy Waters, and all these players coming and going, and you finally kind of figured it out. And Steve, what he's been able to do is he has rotational clarity now. He knows these are my guys.
Good phrase.
Yeah, and I think that when Pods comes back, it gets a little bit murkier because now you're going to have 10 or 11, and you really want 9 or maybe 10, so someone's going to miss out on some minutes, but it's made everything, like you say, when you look at it now, you look at it from a totally different angle.
Yeah, why? How come we can't have a conversation like this without it sounding to some as if we're saying you're not allowed to criticize someone? This happens every single time. And I want to shout out Chris A., one of our, he's a very, very faithful listener. He's on the YouTube chat every day. What are you guys saying? Kerr can't be criticized? Well, let me start with this. No, that's not what we're saying. But I can also say at the same time, he's underappreciated. I don't know why, like, to compliment someone, that has to mean that I'm saying he's perfect. Let me raise my hand for the 80 billionth time and tell you human beings aren't perfect. Nobody does that. And I, as a fan, I never ask for that. It's why I always defend the 49ers when we do the, well, they've sucked in the draft. Well, then why are they loaded with a bunch of homegrown players they want to re-sign? You can't have it both ways. You're allowed to miss on a lot of your draft picks, in my opinion, because that's the nature of the draft. Every single team does it. Have there been some high-profile ones that are a little top-heavy that have really messed things up, Trey Lance? You're damn right, Solomon Thomas. Absolutely.
Javon Kinlaw.
Yes. We can, and so the criticism be there. Absolutely. I haven't loved every rotational decision that Steve Kerr makes. But I go into a game knowing that that's a game that you have to play, and there are some mistakes baked into it. But what I'm here to say at the exact same time is, dude, Warrior fans, you have literally got one of the best coaches of all time. Of all time, he is one of the best coaches. And you for me, you cannot respond to that by saying, wait, he's had really good players. Because you put him on a list of some great, great coaches.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of his numbers and whatnot earlier today. What did all of those coaches have too?
They had good players,
great,
Mark.
Great, great Hall of Fame players.
Red Auerbach had Bill Russell and Cousy and Havlicek, and Don Nelson was on those teams. And they just won every year because he was a good coach and they had an awesome team. And there were only 8 teams as well. So I always think about, you know, you have a talented team, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win. And I think about poor Coach Bud in Phoenix right now, because that team is loaded. They've got a loaded team. Now, they might be a little top-heavy and bottom-thin, but they have enough talent. And he's a coach who's won an NBA championship. He's a highly regarded coach, and yet he's not able to get that group. So does it mean now that Coach Budenholzer is now a bad coach? Because they're not doing great. You have some insight.
I have some opinions.
I know you do.
He's doing a horrible job.
Yeah.
And he's being he is causing problems there. And you can see it all over Kevin Durant.
You can see it from the outside.
Kevin Durant can't get through a game without yelling at Mike Budenholzer.
Well, and that's the situation kind of that I'm talking about with Steve Kerr, because Steve Kerr is fortunate to have one of the greatest players of all time who happens to be a good teammate and someone who's very coachable. You don't often see Steph go rogue or clap back or bury a teammate and all the rest of it, yet Steve Kerr also has Draymond Green. And he, this year, had a team full of guys who were hungry mouths who wanted to get fed, and you had 13 guys and you couldn't feed them all. And so how do you coach the team and coach all the individuals and try to make the collective a working group? It's not as easy as, our team is really talented. I'm just going to roll the ball out.
I'd argue, actually, that this is an unprecedented thing that Steve Kerr has done. Go through a dynasty and have all the stars. You know, I understand Klay Thompson is gone. I don't think that really had anything to do with Steve.
Yeah, KD also left.
Yes, he did. Although, and I guess I can't really speak to exactly what it was that I know people point to Draymond. I think that there are other things going on there. I also think that KD's distaste for what happened here in Golden State is overstated.
Agreed.
For sure. But my point is that the core players that started this whole thing, a couple of them are still here 11 years later, and all still just kumbaya, all still getting along, navigating through a GM change, navigating through an arena change, navigating through taking Hall of Fame players from young to old. You know what I mean? Like he coached Steph Curry when he was 25 years old, and now he just turned 37 years old. That is like a complete evolution. And for everybody to still be on the same page, I don't think you can understate that. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, and that's where we sit right now.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Vellani and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.